Okay, we're starting here on the bottom of Samachem with Bet, two lines from the bottom. Tanu Rabbanan, Haro'ah Dam Achmat Hashmish, a woman who sees Dam after she has intercourse, Mishameshet Pam Rishona, Vishnia Ushlishit. She has intercourse three times, and if in each of those scenarios she sees Damim, Mikan Ve'elech Lo Tishamesh Ad Shetitgeresh. She may no longer have intercourse with this man, and she is divorced from him. V'tinaseh L'acher. But she can marry someone else. Niseit la'acher, she marries a second man. Ve'ata adam achmat tashmish, once again she has the same problem, which is that because of intercourse she's seeing damim. Mishamesh is pama rishona, shnia ushlishit. Again, she does three times, and if in each of those cases she sees damim, mikan ve'elech lo tishamesh ad shetitgeresh. She may not be together with him again until she divorces him. V'tinaseh la'acher, and she can marry a third one. If she marries a third individual, and then she sees Dam because of Tashmish, again, three times. From that point forward, she has to check herself, and she may not have Bi'ah without checking herself. What does this check entail? She brings a hollow tube, and inside of it, she has what is otherwise known as a toothpick, but it's the equivalent of, you say, something like a lipstick or a deodorant, where you have the hollow tube and inside of it is an item that moves up and down. Umoch munach al rosho. And you have some sort of swab or cotton that is placed on the top of this toothpick that's inside of the hollow tube. And then she inserts it into herself. Basically, she's trying to simulate what would happen during Tashmish. If she places it in to simulate Tashmish, to simulate the Aver being inside, and she sees the damim on the top of this moch, on this cotton or the swab at the top, yadua shemina mekoruba, then it's coming from the mekor, because then it's reaching up to the point of tashmish, and it's not coming from the walls of the vaginal canal. Lo nimtza dam al rosho, if there's no dam on the top, yadua shemina tzadimuba, then we know that the dam is being caused from the lining or the walls of the vaginal canal and not coming out of the mekor, not coming out of the uterus. So that's the check that she does. Now, v'yim yeshla maka boto makom, if she does have a makah in the vaginal canal, tola b'makata, as we've seen earlier in the Masech, we discussed this a number of times, if there's a reason to believe that the damim are here for another reason or another cause, then we're going to assume that that was the cause of the dam being here. We're not going to automatically assume that this is dam from the mekor, dam from the uterus. V'meshla veset, tola b'vesta. Now, as Rashi explains here, if this woman does not always see damim when she has tashmish, only on occasion, then we assume that that's part of her cycle, that she's seeing it when she's cycling, and it's not caused by the tashmish itself. If she has a different color of blood that is caused when she has a wound versus when she sees dam nida, then she can't be tola anymore, because it's clear when it's caused by dam nida and when it's a dam makah, because the coloration of the dam would indicate to us which one it is. If you're seeing dam that's colored like dam nida, she can no longer be tola that on dam akata, because we know that dam akata looks different for this woman. Now, v'ne'emenet isha lomar, makah yesh li b'mekor, a woman is believed to say that I have a makah in the uterus or in that area, shemimen adam yotzei, from there the dam is coming out, divrei rabbi. This is the position of rabbi. What's very interesting here is that when we say this is divrei rabbi, it's very difficult, because the first part of the braita that we just quoted says that a chazaka is only established after three times. Number one is, each one of the husbands she marries, she has three times to do tashmish mita before she has to divorce them. In addition to that, she has three chances before she has to do this bidika. She has three husbands. And Rabbi's position is that a chazaka is after two times. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's position is that it's after three times. So when we say divrei Rabbi over here, Rashi says, this only references that last statement. The last statement in the Braita, which is, ne'emenet isha lomar makah yeshli b'makor shemen adam yotzei divrei Rabbi. Only on that is the position of Rabbi. And then we'll have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees. But otherwise, the remainder of the Braita is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot says that even Rabbi will agree by when it comes to Tashmish that it requires three times for a Chazakah. We saw this earlier, that with regards to the Mishnah, there were different ways of setting up a Veset. And certain items it took one time, certain items it took two times, and then certain items it took three times. And Tosafot over there also explains that even according to Rabbi, even according to Rabbi, who normally says a chazaka is caused by two, when we have a chazaka that's caused by something that is not necessarily clear or obvious because it involves a maisa, an action from an external action that causes something else to happen, even there, Rabbi will agree that you need three for chazaka. And therefore, according to Tosafot, the first half of the Braita can also accord with the position of Rabbi. And therefore, when it says Divrei Rabbi over here, it could be going on the entire Braita. That if there is a wound inside of the uterus and the blood's coming out from there, that is Tameh. And the Rabbonon testified about this Dama Makah that comes from the Makor that it's Tahor. May Benayu. It's the nafkamina between these two opinions. Exactly what you just said, Shaul. Makor, Mikomo Tameh Ika Benayu. Question of whether the uterus is inherently Tameh or not. Is it just that when you have a discharge of blood from the uterus, that's called Dam Nida? As long as it is uterine blood that is coming out, coming from her cycle, that's called Dam Nida. Otherwise, anything that comes out of the uterus is considered to be tahor. That's the position of the Chachamim, the Rabbeinu, who say that the Makor is Makomo Tahor. Whereas, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that Makor, the uterus, is inherently Tameh. So if the Dam that comes out is the uterine blood, is the blood of the cycling of the Nida, number one, that blood will have a din of Avatuma. Number two is, she will be a Nida, and all the trappings that come with it. On the other hand, if other damim comes out of the uterus, that's not the uterine blood, is not the blood of her menstruation, even though it will not make her Tameh, it nevertheless will be Tameh, and it will be Mitameh, Tumat Erev, Ke'ava Tumah. So it'll be different than Dam Nida, which is Mitameh for 7 days, like an Ava Tumah. This will be Mitameh, Tumat Erev, like an Ava Tumah. And that's because it's Mekoro Tameh, that the Makor, the uterus itself, causes or imbues Tumah in anything that passes through it. And therefore, blood that comes out of the uterus, even if it's from a wound, will also be Tameh. So that machloket between them is simply about whether this blood that's being discharged is Tameh or Tahor. It's not a question of whether this woman's a Nida or not. She is not a Nida, according to both opinions. The only issue here is the question of the Dam itself. What is the status of this Dam? Is it Dam Tahor or is it Dam Tameh? Now the Gemara goes back to, look, think about this Braita. Right, it says about the checking that you put this hollow tube into her, this wooden hollow tube. Shoferet afgure mifgaralo. That is going to cause lacerations. When you put in this wood tubing into her, cause lacerations on the vaginal wall. If that's the case, you're going to cause the bleeding. Forget about any blood or bleeding that was there beforehand. This check is going to cause the bleeding to happen. So Amar Shmuel b'shoferet shel aver. You have to use a very smooth tube, a smooth tube that was made out of lead. Upia ratzuf l'tocha. And its rim is folded inside of it. So it's not even a sharp rim. The rim folds back into itself. And therefore, it's something that inserts smoothly and does not cause any lacerations when it goes in. Amar le Reish Lakish, the Rabbi Yochanan. V'tivdok atzma b'bi'ah shlishit shel bala rishon. Why doesn't she check herself on the third bi'ah of the first husband? So this comes back to show you raised the question before. At the end of the Braita, it says she can check to stay with the third husband after the third time. So what are the implications here? The Gemara says, why do you wait till then? Why doesn't she just check after the third time by the first husband? Now, the way Rashi phrased this is very important to see. Rashi says, Klomar, mi biyash lishit shel rishon veilech. After the third time that she has this sighting of damim when she has intercourse with her first husband, then she should be tishamei she'edei bdika. She should be able to continue with doing a bdika. Velama titkaresh. And why do we force her to divorce? The answer the Gemara will give, and we'll give the answer in 1 second, according to Rashi, she must get divorced. The Gemara is asking, why don't we allow her to do bdika? The answer the Gemara says, we don't allow her to do bdika, we force her to be divorced. Tosafot takes issue with that and says, what do you mean? That's not what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is just saying, why don't we just do the check up front? And the answer of the Gemara is that there's an alternative. The alternative is that either she doesn't know how to do the check, or we want to give her an alternative where she doesn't have to check, or the way the Tosafot Rosh phrases it is that it's an Eitz Tova. It's a good advice that better off that she gets divorced and get into a situation where she doesn't have to do this bidika rather than having to deal with this bidika for the rest of her life. So the machloka between Rashi and Tosafot is, do you have this alternative? Is this alternative available to you? According to Rashi, the alternative bidika is not available to you. Chamim said she must get divorced in this case. Tosafot says, no. If she wants to do bidika, she could stay with this first husband. There are just a lot of reasons for her not to do that and to move on to the next husband. Now, why is this? Amalei. Not every aver is the same. There might be something about this husband's aver that is causing the bleeding to happen. And so because of that, if she marries another man, maybe she won't have this problem. And that's true of the second man, and then until we reach the third man. Once we have the third time where the same thing happens, then we know it's irrespective of which husband she has. It has to do with her and not the husband. But until that point in time, we give her the benefit of the doubt that the chazaka established by the first man does not impact the second, or does not impact the third, because every man is different. And because of that difference, maybe she would not have a sighting of damim with that tashmish. So again, for Rashi, that means we tell her she must get divorced from the first one. She does not give it an alternative because we want her not to have to do this bdika, not to get into this type of trouble. On the other hand, Tosafot says if she prefers not to do a bdika, or if she doesn't know how to do a bdika, according to Tosafot Rashi, we give her good advice. They move on. Then we say to her, don't do this, get divorced, and move on to the next individual. So that's the machloket we had here between Rashi and Tosafot. Amarlei, v'tibdok atzma bia rishona shel ba'al shlishi. Why doesn't she have to do a check after the first bia with the third husband? We said that she needs three to create the chazaka. So we understand with the first husband, she needs three times. Second husband, she needs three times. And now she's on her third husband. And after the first bia, she sees damim. So once that's the case, she's already established that it doesn't matter anymore. Three husbands, and she's seeing damim. Why does she have to wait with the third husband another two times before we establish a chazaka? The chazaka has already been established. Why is there any differentiation over here? Tosafot asks, this question could be equally asked about the second husband. Because it says, why isn't it after the first bia with the second husband that we have the same question? And he leaves that as a tema. Why the Gemara doesn't ask this about the second husband? Because it could ask about the second husband just like it asks about the third husband. The Tosafot Aruch says that the Gemara knew the answer of the Gemara already, and that's why it's only asking about the third husband. And the answer is, Lefi Shekein Kol Akochot Shavot. Not every intercourse, every biyah is the same. We have to give her three biyot in order to see that all biyot create this problem. If we just do it with one intercourse, it might be that that type of intercourse or that type of interaction is what causes the damim. But maybe if it was in a different scenario or different circumstances, it wouldn't be as problematic. Therefore, we say each husband has to establish his own chazaka. So because of that, number one, each husband does not affect the next husband because en kol etzvot shavot. Not every man is the same. In addition to that, even though the first husband established a chazaka three times, that will not affect the second husband. Even after the first time that he sees damim, he's still not governed by the chazaka of the first husband, and the same with the third husband. He's not governed by the chazakot that came before him, because all kol kochot shavot, not all biot, are the same. And because of that, the chazaka of number one and number two will not impact on number three, and he'll have to establish himself the chazaka of three times. Alright, hayi da'atai dekamei derabi. There was a woman who came before Rabbi, and she had this problem. She had this problem that every time she had bi'ah, she ended up citing damim. Amar le la'avdon, he says to the shamish there, zio bato. When she comes in here, scare her. Azo bato, he scared her. He suddenly crept up upon her and scared her. Nafo mimena chararat dam. And out of her came a discharge of a solid piece of coagulated blood. Amarabi nitra pa'ah zot. Now she's cured, she won't have this problem anymore. So hayi itta da'ata lekamei demar Shmuel. So a similar case happened before Shmuel. Amarle the Rav Dimi bar Yosef zil ba'ato. So he tried the same methodology that Rabbi used. Told the shamish to go ahead and scare her. Azal ba'ato. He went ahead and scared her. V'lo nafal mimeno v'lo midei. Nothing came out of her, nothing changed. Amar Shmuel zu mimal'a v'nofetzit. This woman is full of blood, v'nofetzit, and she squirts it out, gathers it every time. There's no way around this. And a woman like this has no cure. She will not be able to be bitashmish with a man because of this problem. This every time she's going to come into contact with a man, she's going to have a sighting of damim, and it's going to cause a problem. And the third case here of a woman who came before Rabbi Yochanan, and said, "Dechol emat dahava salka mitvilat mitzvah habakachaz yadama." Every time on her way back from going to the mikveh, from being metaher herself from Nida to Mat Nida, she used to have a sighting. She was coming back, on her way back, poor girl. She went to the mikveh, now she's to Ora. On her way back to her husband, she would have a sighting of Damim. So she comes to Rabbi Yochanan and says, what should I do? So Rabbi Yochanan gives her a solution. The Gemara is going to say there are three possibilities of what the solution was that Rabbi Yochanan gave her. First one is, Amar La, Shema Dimat Irayach. Maybe the women of your city are gossiping about you or are jealous of you. They see the wonderful relationship that you have with your husband, the closest that you have with your husband, and therefore they're being machnis and ayin hara into you. When they see you coming back from the mikveh, they are machnis and ayin hara, and that's what's causing the damim to come out. Or the Meiri says the possibility is that the damim are coming about because she's excited about seeing her husband, and being excited about seeing her husband is what's causing the damim to come out. Because of Shema Dimit Irech Alta Beich, so maybe the jealousy or the gossip of the women of the city is what's causing this problem for you, either because it's citing you and that's what's causing the damim to come out, or because there be machnis and ayin hara into you, and that's what's causing the problem over here. So what is this suggestion? L'chi vivali lo agav hanar. Go and have biyah on the edge or the banks of the river. She was going into the river as her mikveh. So he says, have biyah immediately afterwards. Because that either would prevent her from entering the sitting and have the other women see her. And so because of that, she wouldn't have that issue of the ayin hara. Or, if it was being caused by her excitement about seeing her husband, it would be prior to that. It would happen too fast before she would get excited, and that would prevent the problem. Ikidamar, there's some that say that this was the response of Rabbi Yochanan. Amrla tigle lechavrotech. Tell your friends about the difficulty that you're having, about the sitting damim, kehechi detavo alayich lahach gisa, detavo alach lahach gisa. Because just like Rashi says before, they were jealous of your wonderful relationship with your husband, and that's what's causing the problem over here. The same way now, if you tell them the issues that you're having, they'll think that your husband hates you, and that'll get rid of the ayin hara. The same love that they thought was there before and caused the whole problem, they'll think now that there's nothing to think about over now, and it'll all go away. Tosafot brings from the Oruch an interesting idea. The Oruch says that the ayin hara caused you the problem. The ayin hara is what causes you now not to be with your husband, because the ayin hara causes you to have this damim after you go to the mikveh. So tell your friends that you're having a lot of damim, because we saw earlier in the Masechta that a lot of damim is a siman for a lot of banim, for a lot of children. So tell them about this great secret that you have, that you're going to have a lot of boys and a lot of children because you have tons of damim. So they'll get jealous, and then they'll give you an ayin hara on the lot of damim. And by giving you an ayin hara on the lot of damim, it'll cause you to have less damim, and that'll solve your problem. So the Aruch says, create within them an ayin hara to take away the problem that you're having. Exactly. Very good. Reverse psychology. V'ikadamar, and then there's one last possibility, which is a very interesting one. Amarla, galei l'chavrutech, tell your friends about this, keich d'lbay aleich rachamim, so they can daven for you, and that they can ask for Hashem to solve this problem. The Tanya, we have a Beraita, V'tamei Tamei Yikra. This is talking about a Mitzorah. When he's Chutz L'machaneh, he has to call out to the people and tell them his circumstance, because Tzarich Lodia Tzaro L'Rabim, he has to tell the public what's going on with him, Ravim Mevakshim Alav Rachamim, so that the public can daven on his behalf. Here, this is a Beraita that brought here, brought in this circumstance. Also, Alocha L'maseh, when someone is sick or someone's in a difficult situation, that they should make known to others their situation. It's not right away, not every moment, every little, but when it's a serious issue and something that intervention or intercession by the public, then one should make known to others the difficulty so that others can daven on his behalf and ask that the situation be rectified or cured. I'm Rav Yosef, Havu Uvda B'Pumpadita. We had a case like this in Pumpadita, Vitase, and she was healed. Doesn't say which of the methodologies they used in order to heal her. Rashi mentions that he's referencing the last of the cases, that it was a case of davening, although it's not clear from the context here. It seems like Rav Yosef is addressing the last of the scenarios, but it's not clear. Could be that any of the three answers, but they had a situation like this, and they did whatever was suggested here, and it worked. Amar Rav Yosef, Amar Yehuda, Amar Rav. Here we are going to begin what is the fundamentals of our Dinei Nida today. We've mentioned this numerous times before in the Masechta. For Dinei Nida min Torah, if a woman has a sighting of Damim, she is Tamei'ah for 7 days. Irrespective if she sees more Damim, whether she doesn't see any Damim, for the 7 days, she is Tamei'ah Tumat Nida. And she can see Damim all the way up to the end of the 7th day. At the end of the 7th day, as long as she stops seeing Damim, she can go to the mikveh post the 7th day, the night after the 7th day. And with that done, she's now Tehora, and she begins what are called the 11 days of Yemei Ziva. The 11 days of Yemei Ziva have a din that if she sees 1 day or 2 days, she shomeret yom keneged yom. If she sees 3 days in a row, she becomes a Ziva Gdola and requires Shiva Nikiyim. That is the din min HaTorah. The obvious problem or issue that can come up is a Mishnah that we saw in Erachin. The Mishnah in Erachin discusses a woman who loses her count or her petach lenida. A woman could easily lose track of whether she's in her Yemei Ziva or in Yemei Nida. And therefore, she has a setting damim. She doesn't know if she should be a Zavak Tana, Zavak Dola, or she's a Nida. And once that happens, she ends up in a huge mess. And that's what that whole Mishnah in Arachin deals with, is what happens if this woman who gets herself into this mess. So basically, what Rabbi sought to do over here, this is the beginning of the Takana, is to remove this problem, is to eliminate this issue by creating Gedarim that say that women have to do this every time. And when they do this every time, we protect against this problem from arising. And so Rabbi is the beginning of this process, and then we'll get to the finality, but Rabbi Zeira, and that will be what we practice today. So now we begin. Hitkin Rabbi Bisadot. Rabbi was mitakein. Now over here the word sadot can either be literally fields, means that the villagers, people are not well versed in halacha, or it could really be a place named sadot, where also where they were not people that were well versed in halacha. So this is what he said that they should do. Rata yom echad, they were citing for one day, teshev shisha, and here the Ritva and the others of the Rishonim point out that it's shisha nikiim. She has to wait 6 days without any sighting, vehu, including the day that she sighted. So it'll be a total of 7 days. 7 days because maybe she's a nida. This is the beginning of her period of her nida. Since the beginning of her period of her nida, she needs 7 days of tuma. So she waits 7 days, but she also needs the shisha nikiim 6 days afterwards of nikiim, because otherwise she could have become a zavak tana or a zavak dola. So if she has other settings after that, could cause her problems. So here, if she has a setting for one day, she's got to wait shisha nikiim plus that day. Shnayim, if she sees 2 days in a row, teshev shisha vehein. Now, this is the girsa in our Gemara. Many Rishonim, including the Rif, has a girsa that is teshev chamisha vehein. She has to wait 5 days with these two. You can understand why they had this girsa. It's because you have the 2 days, and the five gets you the 7 days of nida. Rashi already points out why that is not a good way to solve the problem, and all the Rishonim mention that they think the girsa should be, the proper girsa should be teshev shisha vehein, it's six plus them, because the possibility is that the first day that she had damim was the last day of her Yemei Ziva. The second day she had damim was the first day of her nida, and therefore she'll need an additional 6 days on top of those 2 days. And that's why the Braita here, according to Rabbi, says that she's sees 2 days, she has to wait shisha nikiim afterwards. Then, shlosha, if she sees 3 days in a row, teshev shiva nikiim. Then she has to wait shiva nikiim, because then we're choshesh that she is a zavag dola, and she's a zavag dola, we need shiva nikiim before we're going to allow her to move on. So here is the beginning of what we see as a process to eliminate this problem of women having to know when yimei ziva is, when yimei nida are, pitche nida, what the dinim are when you're a zava, is by setting standards by which women, no matter what their sightings are always going to have the same standard. They see for 1 day, they're going to wait shisha nikiim. They see 2 days, they're going to wait an additional shisha nikiim. They see 3 days, they're going to wait shiva nikiim. Now, this is not exactly our din. What we're going to see in a minute is Amar Rab Zera. This is what we do today. Benot Israel hechmiru al etzman. They were machmir on themselves. Shafilu ro'ot tipa dam kechardal. Even if they see dam the size of a mustard seed, yoshivet aleh shiva nikiim. For that, they wait shiva nikiim. That's the din that we have today. That's how our nida is developed today, that whenever a woman sees damim, she waits shiva nikiim. We already discussed earlier in the Masechta why we don't count shiva nikiim immediately, and that's, most of the time, it's practical. The woman can't get shiva nikiim until a certain number of days pass where she's having the menstruation take place. On the other hand, there is an issue of what's called poletet shechvat zera. And poletet shechvat zera will at least prevent her from beginning her shiva nikiim for 72 hours. And then we discuss there the issues of the additional day plus ben hashmashot. So at the end, it tends out to be 4 24-hour periods plus the section of the day in which she had the sighting of the damim. In order to get rid of this problem of poletet shechvat zera, again, in most instances, it's not a nafkamina because women generally have a flow of damim for those 3 to 5 days anyway. And therefore, the shiva nikiim would only start afterwards. But that is our practice, and this is the practice that yichmir atzman shafila ro'ot tibat dam kardal yoshevet alei shiva nikiim. Not like Rabbi. Rabbi who had the differentiation between 1 day, 2 days, and 3 days. There, those were full sightings. Over here, we're talking about even the smallest sighting, shiva nikiim. I'm going to come back to this and explain this all in a minute. So dabrei rovo the Rav Shmuel. So rovo took Rav Shmuel out on a stroll. V'dorish, and it was doresh kishdata shnei yamim. If she was having difficulty giving birth, she had labor pangs for 2 days. Olishlishi pila, and on the 3rd day she had a miscarriage. Teshev shiva nikiim. Then she has to wait a full shiva nikiim. Kasavar, it must hold ein kishur de nefelim. Number one, that there is no din of kishui by nefelim. The din of kishui is that if a woman has these labor pangs going in to giving birth and she's seeing damim, we're going to associate that damim with the birth, and she will not be a zavag dola. In this case, it's a nefel. The miscarriage was a non-viable fetus. And since it was a non-viable fetus, she doesn't get that coverage of the dam being associated with the leida, and therefore she will become a zavag dola. And number two is, v'yev shal p'ticha dekever below dam. The fact that she had a miscarriage on the 3rd day makes us assume automatically that she also saw dam on the 3rd day, because if the uterus opened to allow the fetus or miscarriage to exit, it also allowed some damim to come out. So Amalei Rav Papa the Rava. So Rav Papa says to Rava, "My Arya Kishita Shnei Yamim. Why do you have to have this whole scenario where she's seeing damim for 2 days, going into the leida? Afilu Mashu Ba'alma. Even if she sees the smallest piece of the smallest drop of dam. Dama Rabbi Zeira. He quotes what we just saw in Rabbi Zeira. But no Tisrael Echmiro Atzman. Shafilu Ro'o Tibat Dam Kadal Yeshev Dala Shiva Nekivim. So what are you coming up with the Shiva Nekivim in a case where you're creating a Zavak Dola because it was a Nefel that was a miscarriage? Why do you need all of that? Even if she sees the smallest amount of damim, she has to wait Shiva Nekivim. So Amar Lei, his answer is very interesting. Amin Elocha Ano Isura. I'm talking about Isura. I'm talking about a Din Doraita. Vat Amart Minhogo? And you're telling me about a Minhog? Heichad Achmor Achmor. Wherever they were Machmir, that's where the Minhog works. Heichad Lo Achmor Lo Achmor. If they weren't Machmir in these situations, if the Minhog doesn't apply to these cases, then it's not relevant over here. I mean, there's a difference between Isur, which I'm speaking about, which is something that happens no matter what, versus what you're quoting me Rabbi Zeira, which is about a Minhog. A Minhog depends on where the Minhog applied or when it was applied. You're talking apples and oranges over here and you can't connect the two. That's the girsa that we have in our Gemara. The Ravan actually has a different girsa in the Gemara. Girsa in the Ravan is, Amalei, Amin al Ano, Isur Zava Gemura Doraita. So that he says that the difference here is between something that's a vadai midoraita versus something that's a suffik doraita. He does not have this issue of minhag. The way our Gemara has it, it's a difference between isur and minhag. The way the Ravan has it, it's a difference between a vadai and a suffik. It's not about minhag. It's about they're both isurim, but one's an isur vadai and one is an isur suffik. And so therefore they're machmir for this safek, and therefore we have to look at where they were machmir and not machmir. It's not something that is governed completely by this din. All right, so now, what is this din of Rabbi Zeira? Where does this din come from in Rabbi Zeira? So Rashi and Tosafot in the Gemara Megillah both ask the same question, which is basically, why should a woman have to wait Shiva Nekiim for Tipat Chardal Dam? For a smallest drop of dam, why would you ever have to have Shiva Nekiim? What could have possibly happened to this woman that she would need Shiva Nekiim after she sees a Tipat Dam? There's no case where you could see a Tipat Dam and have to see Shiva Nekiim. So Tosafot phrases it in a very interesting way. He says that the Chamim would not be Mitakein, or the Minhag would not arise, if there wasn't a paradigm in the Torah for this. So Tosafot says, where's the paradigm in the Torah where a drop of Damim can cause Shiva Nekiim? Because otherwise, what is this patterned after? Rashi is a little more subtle in that, and he says, "Lo yachmiru elo b'shlosha ritzufim." If you say, why don't you have to wait only with 3 days, like Rabbi? If you have 3 days in a row, let's be machmir. Why would you ever be machmir for a single drop of dam? Because you could never come to a case of Shiva Nekiim in this case. So what are they being chosheshet for? So Rashi gives two answers. Tosafot gives one answer. Rashi says, because if she was already counting her Shiva Nekiim, and she sees a drop of dam, that ruins her Shiva Nekiim and she has to restart the Shiva Nekiim. So that's Rashi says that could be the safek over here. She sees a drop of dam and that would have undermined her Shiva Nekiim and she would have to start a new Shiva Nekiim. Tosafot says that's the paradigm. Mina Torah, that's the case where a tipat dam can cause you to wait Shiva Nekiim, and that's what this is patterned after. Rashi also offers a second alternative, which is the possibility that she saw for 2 days, unbeknownst to her. And then she sees on the third day thinking that's her first day, but it's really her third day. And she's really a Zavak Dola, but she's counting herself as a Zavak Tana. And because of that possible confusion, we say, any Tibat Dam, you wait Shiva Nekiim. That's the Rashi and Tosafot in the Gemara Megillah. And then the Tamidei Rabbeinu Yonah and Brachot speak about why this is such a Chumrah. They said that, Ein Ochanami, if you wanted to take care of this problem of women getting confused, you should have said, oh, we have, like Rabbi, if you see 3 days in a row, then you need Shiva Nekiim. And even if you wanted to be machmir and say, and this is his suggestion, that the problem here is that when the dam comes out, you see a tipat dam, that we really think that there was much more dam that exited already the uterus earlier. And we know that the exit of the blood from the uterus is what causes the woman to be nida, not the exit from her body. So when she sees the tipat dam now, that was already from beforehand, there was a ton of damim there, and it had already exited. Talmid Rabbi Yonah say about if she had a decent flow of damim, we could say, okay, She had 3 days worth of dam here, and it all came out now from her body, but it actually exited the uterus at different times. And it exited the uterus from different times. She really saw over 3 days. Tremendous chumrah over here is that we say that about a tipat dam kechardal, that we say that about the smallest drop of blood, that we say could have been there for 3 days. And that's what the Divine Rabbanan would say is chumrah over here. The chumrah is not that she weighed shiva nikiyim. The chumrah is not about a sighting of damim. The chumrah here is that such a small amount of dam will cause us to think that that was spread over 3 days. And that's what the chumrah is over here. And then all the Rishonim explain that if she sees a tipat dam, that is mitameh her midoraita. That's not a problem. We know that throughout. We saw this numerous times throughout the Masechta that any sighting of damim causes her to be a nida. But that's true. That makes her into nida. That does not require shiva nikiyim. So the tipat dam over here is not the issue. That's why Tosafot and Rashi say it's not the tipat dam that is causing the chumrah over here. Tipat dam can make her into nida. The chumrah over here is that she weighed shiva nikiyim on this tipat dam. That's the chumrah, and that's what Rashi and Tosafot are trying to solve. And that's what the Tabina Raviono focus on as being the chumrah that's here. Is that even on this tipat dam, which we couldn't have thought of possibly that this was spread over 3 droplets on 3 days, nevertheless, we still say over there that it's we wait shiva nikiyim, and that is the chumrah that we have over here is not a logical way to think about the dinei nida. And all of this is done to prevent the problem of petach l'nida, zavag dola, all these things where women can get confused. So this is done in order to prevent that type of confusion. Ravina, Yasek le lebrei, Bei Rav Chanina, the other girsas are Bei Rav Chaviva. He was putting together a shidduch for his son with the daughter of either Rav Chanina or Rav Chaviva. So Amar Leh, so Rav Chaviva says back to him, Sarvalei Mar Leh Michtav Ktuba Liyomar Rivi'i. So you want to come back and we'll put the Ktuba together in 4 days from now. So he said they had the negotiations, they had the shidduch work out. He says, why don't you come back in 4 days and we'll put together Ktuba. Amar Leh in, sure, says I'll come back in 4 days. Kimata La Arba'a, when it came to the fourth day, Notad Ad Arba'a Achrina. He waited an additional 4 days. It's not clear here from the Gemara whether fourth day he didn't show up and he waited an additional 4 days and then they signed the ketubah, or he came on the fourth day, signed the ketubah, but did not have the marriage take place for an additional 4 days. See, Akev Shiva Yome Batar Hauyoma. So it turns out that he ended up waiting 7 days in addition to the first day when they put the shidduch together. He's supposed to be there on the fourth day. Instead, he ends up on the eighth day afterwards, including the day that they put the shidduch together. Amalei Mai Hai. Rav Chaviva says, what are you delaying like this for? Amalei lo sarva lo amara lahadu rovo. Don't you hold of this din of rovo. Damarova tavua linase venit paisa. If a woman is asked in her hand in marriage and she agrees, zuchad leshev shiva nikiyim. She has to wait 7 days shiva nikiyim because the assumption being that the chimud, the desire to get married and the desire for tashmish will cause her to have a sighting of damim. We saw that in some of the previous cases before. And so therefore, this excitement over the shidduch in her hand being asked in marriage, that will cause her to have a sighting of damim, and therefore she has to wait shiva nikiyim. So that's what he says. That's what I'm doing over here. Amalei, ima dama rava bigdola. The rava's statement is made about a woman who's of age, who's menstruating. The chachazaya damia, because she does see damim. Aval biktano delo chazia dama mi'amar. We're talking about a minor here, which was the case by Rav Chaviva's daughter. Then what's the chashash here? That she's going to see damim? She doesn't see damim. It says, Amalei, Ravina responds and says, Beferush amar Rova. Rova said explicitly, Lo shna gdola, lo shna ktana, that it doesn't make a difference whether she's a gdola or ktana. The din is that you have to wait shiva nikiyim. Why? Gdola, time amai. What's the reason that by a gdola you have to wait shiva nikiyim? Mishom de mechamda, because of the desire for tashmish, the desire for marriage, causes you to have a sighting. Tana nami mechamda. Tana has that same din and that same causation or process there. So it has nothing to do with regular menstruation or regular menstrual cycles. It has to do with this particular issue surrounding the marriage. And that's equal for a girl of age within a minor. And so that since that's the case, you have to wait shiva nikiyim both for a gdolak tana. And that's why I delayed or tarried until the eighth day before I allowed the marriage to go through. All right, I'm a Rova. So now we're going to have a bunch of statements from Rova. These statements now are going to refer to the mikveh scenario. We're moving from nida into being metaher herself from being a nida. And Rova gives us some principles which we follow, which is Amar Rova. Isha lo tachuf, that a woman who is cleansing herself to go to the mikveh, she shouldn't do it lo b'neter, not with natron, but lo b'chol. That's the gears that we have in our gemara, which is chol, which is sand. If you look in the Mesoras Hashas, He says that Tzarich Lamar Be'ohel, or Be'ohal, which we saw earlier, is either, the Gemara there gave different definitions, either aloe or it was sulfur. So it was one of those two items, so that she shouldn't use those items in the process of cleansing herself. The reason is, Benetter, she shouldn't use nature amishum demikatef, because it causes the hair to be pulled out, and when the hair is pulled out, it still remains in her head, and that means that you have loose hairs that are hanging out in her head, which will problem over chatzitza, ubichol, and with sand, or if you have the other girso be'oal, mishum demasrich, because it causes the hair to stick together, clump together, and when it clumps together, it's a problem of chatzitza. So here are these two types of cleansing agents you shouldn't use, because they present problems for chatzitza when you're going into the mikveh. V'amar meimar mishmei derava, and so a meimar says the name of Rava, isha lo tachuf ela bechamim. The woman who's cleansing herself to go to the mikveh should only do this with hot water. Afilu, let's skip here, the gear says, afilu bechamei chama, even if this water was heated by the sun, that's okay. Avalo betzonein, but just don't use cold water. Tzonein my taima, why shouldn't you use cold water? Mishom dekrire umashru mezayo, because they're cold, and the coldness of the water causes some of the hair to dislocate, to become uprooted, and that hair will become a chatzitza in her head. So therefore, when you wash, you have to wash with warm or hot water in order to ensure that everything is coming out, and that everything is clean and no chatzitzot here. As Rashi says that there's with the cold water, is makshin et ha-sarot, it causes the hair to harden, vein lichlu cham over, and therefore the dirt or the chatzitzot that are there do not get removed. Right, the other possibility is that the hair becomes uprooted and it gets stuck in the other hair. And we know that when you take a shower, if you use hot water, it's more likely that you get the dirt out, that things come off, and the chatzitzot are removed. So better to use the hot water than to use the cold water. So now another item from Rava. Amar Rava, lo olam yilamed adam betoch beito, shetei isha midicha bebeit kemata b'mayim. That a woman should always cleanse the areas that are covered, that are otherwise covered, the folds in her body. These are things like her underarms, any folds of fat, anything in the body where they're not normally exposed. They're what are called beit hastarim. Even though they are not required to go into the mikveh or to touch the waters of the mikveh, nevertheless, there may not be a chatzitza there. And therefore, he said that the isha had to be medicha. She had to be ensured to medicha to rinse those areas and clean them out. So we must teach the women to do this. Meiteve, beit hakmatim or beit hastarim enan tzrichim lebiat mayim. These folds, these areas with the folds, or these areas that are not normally exposed, they do not require going into the mikveh. I mean, they don't require the waters of the mikveh to touch them. So it says, Nahi, to be at mayim lo bi'inan. They don't require the waters of the mikveh to reach them. Makom haro'oi to be at mayim bi'inan. But they still have to be an area that is ro'oi, that mayim could have gone there. Even though they're not required to have contact with the water, nevertheless, they have to be ro'oi that they could have contact with the water. Kid Rabbi Zeira, the famous line of Rabbi Zeira from Menachot, Damar Rabbi Zeira kol haroi lebila, ain bila me'akevet bo. This is a din by Menachot that the largest mincha that you're allowed to bring in the Mikdash is 60 Yisaron, because a 60 Yisaron mincha you're able to mix. You're able to be bilel or to do the blila properly. Even though bila is not me'akevet, even though you do not require to mix the mincha, you have to have the potential, the mincha. Therefore, a mincha up to 60 yisaron, which has the potential to be mixed, can be brought. A mincha that is 61 yisaron, which cannot be mixed properly, then you cannot bring it as a single mincha, you can't bring it as a mincha. And that's the statement of Rabbi Zeira, which is, kol ha-ra'ui le-bila, ein bila me'akevet bo. As long as the item has the possibility of being mixed, then mixing it is not me'akev. She'ein ra'ui le-bila, but if there's no possibility of ever mixing it, like the 61 yisaron, then bila me'akevet bo. Bila is problematic for it because there is a requirement that you do bilila. That's the Torah says blula b'shemen, that you do have to mix it. So there is a requirement, the chatchila, that you mix it. So you have to have that potential to mix it, the chatchila, even though b'di'evet, if you don't do it, it's not me'akev. But if you never have the potential to do it, the chatchila, then there is no din of ein bila me'akevet because you never reach the point where this is a proper mincha. And the same thing over here. By these locations on the woman, she has to clean them, even though there's no requirement that when she goes to the mikveh that she ensure that the waters of the mikveh touch those areas. Nevertheless, those areas have to have the potential by which the waters of the mikveh could touch them. And therefore, they have to have all chatzitzot that are removed from them. So now they have the extreme case of this, which is Amar Avin bar Rav Adam Rav Yitzchak Masa b'shivchato shel Rabbi. There was a case with the maidservant of Rabbi. She tavla, she went to the mikvah v'alta, and she came out v'nimtzala etzem chotzeitz ben shinah, and she found a bone or something stuck between her teeth. V'tzicha Rebbe tefila acheret, and Rebbe made her take that out and go back into the mikveh. So even though the mouth is a beta starim, it's an area where the mikveh waters don't have to reach in order for the woman to be tohora. Nevertheless, the din is that she cannot have a chatzitza in that area. She has to be clean. And that's the reason that women may not eat meat on the days before they go to the mikveh, because those are items that easily get stuck in the teeth. They have to make sure to floss out, clean out their teeth, make sure there are no chatzitza in their mouth. Even though, again, the waters of the mikveh don't have to go into their mouth, they have to be areas that are ra'ui that the waters of the mikveh go, and there is no chatzitza in those areas. Vamarova, tavla, ve'alta. A woman who goes to the mikveh and then comes out, v'nimtzaleh davar chutzetz. And now, after she comes out of the mikveh, she finds something on her that would cause a chatzitza, or would be a chatzitza if she had found it before she went into the mikveh. Im samuch l'chafifa, tavla. If she, right after she did the chafifa, she went into the mikveh, then, ein atzricha l'chof v'litvol. She doesn't have to go again. She doesn't have to clean herself again and go back in, because we assume that it definitely happened afterward. The fact that she did the cleaning beforehand, we're going to rely on that cleansing that she did beforehand. And that cleansing, when she went to the mikveh, must have not been that this item was there. And it happened, or came on her, after the fact. And that's why she doesn't have to go again. Vim lav, if she didn't go into the mikveh immediately after she had cleansed herself, then tzricha l'chof litvol. Then she has to go cleanse herself again and go into the mikveh, because there was a gap between the cleansing process and going to the mikveh. Maybe something got on her in the meantime. There are some that phrase it this way, which is vim ba'oto yom shechafava tavla. On the same day that she cleansed herself, she went to the mikveh, and it's tzricha l'chof litvol. She doesn't have to repeat the process again. Vim lav, tzricha l'chof litvol. If it was not on the same day, then she has to cleanse herself again and go to the mikveh again. My benayu, what's the difference between these two opinions? Igbenayu, l'mismach l'chafifa litvila. Do you have to have the going to the mikveh immediately juxtaposed to the cleansing of the woman? So the meichaf biyomama ulmitvo belelia, or for instance, to cleanse oneself during the day and go to the mikveh at night. So these are the nafkamina between them. Tosafot points out that this is not related to a machloka that we have later on in the mesechta, whether a tevila has to be take of the chafifa. That's a separate din. That's a din, a halachic need to have chafa right prior to going to the mikveh. But that's a din in chafifa and tevila. Here we're talking about a practical issue. Just a practical issue of how close do you have to have the mikveh to the chafifa that we can rely on this chafifa to say that there was no chatzitza when she went into the mikveh. And so this is just a practical issue, not a halachic din of putting the chafifa and tefillah together, which we'll deal with later on in the mesechta. A woman should not stand on top of earthenware utensils and go to the mikveh. Savar of kana lemeimar taimamai. What's the reason she can't do this? Mishum gzerat merchatzaot. Because it seems too like going to the bathhouse. So halgabe silta shapir dami. Then it doesn't feel like she's going to the bathhouse. In the bathhouse, they have these earthenware benches, or they have these struts that hold up the floors in which they go into the bathhouses. So when she's standing on a kli cheres, it feels like she's in a bathhouse. So we don't want to have that be the case. Simulate a bathhouse, because it's a mikveh, not a bathhouse. So if it looks like the bathhouse, or feels like the bathhouse, we'll be gozer. If it doesn't, we won't. So halgabe silta shapir dami. Then it doesn't feel like she's going to the bathhouse. And Rashi talks about it being gat ava, thick piece of wood, or something that's very wide. Something wide and thick piece of wood. No, you got the reason wrong. What's the reason that she can't do it on top of kli cheres? Shum debait. Because she's going to be scared. She's standing on a narrow object. She's going to be scared, and therefore she won't be tovelet properly. She won't go to the mikveh properly. So siltanami biato. Same too, when she's on this block of wood, it's not something that she's easily balanced on. If she's standing on this block of wood, it's going to have that same cause of fear for her, and that cause of fear is going to make it that she won't go to the mikveh. She won't be tovelet properly. All right, so now we'll stop here, because the next piece of the Gemara continues into tomorrow's daf. It's connected to tomorrow's daf. I just want to note here what Tosafot says. Tosafot says, what's this chafifa over here? In modern day Hebrew, as well as most places in the Gemara, chafifa refers specifically to hair and to the head. So when you're chofef, you are cleaning, it means to shampoo, cleanse one's head. So the chafifa that we're discussing over here, are we talking about chafifa of the head? Or are we talking about chafifa of the entire body? So Tosafot brings over here that, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, the chafifa lo shaycha ela barosh. That chafifa only applies to the head. He brings down there's a problem in the Gemara in Chulin with our Gemara over here. It seems to be a stira, and he's trying to address the stirot. The way Rabbeinu Tam addresses the stira is to say that chafifa is only applicable to the head and not to the body. So that's one view of it. But then he quotes from a Rav Shmariah who says in the name of Rashi that the entire body has a din in chafifa. And he tries to bring proofs to this. The fact that even the word chafifa or chofef is used by the entire body, not just by the head. Tosfot finds flaws in all of those proofs. And then, in the end, he says that the din of the head and the body, mina Torah, midoraita, and he brings this from Rav Sadia Gaon, is simply yune, to have it checked. Person simply has to check their head, check their body, and that is sufficient to go into the mikveh. They do not have to cleanse themselves, they don't have to do chafifa, they just simply have to check themselves mina Torah. The takanat chachamim is that that is not sufficient, and you have to do chafifa. What you have to do chafifa for, Tosfot seems to lean to the head and the hair, not the whole body, but nevertheless, which is very interesting. Tosfot concludes with a very interesting line. He says, "Va'apapi she'anu midamim," even though that we really think that the word chafifa here only applies to the head, and we can undermine all the proofs that brought that showed that it was dealing with the body. So we really think that chafifa here means just the head. Ein lasot maseh. We're not going to rely on this, the halacha lemaseh. Ela tzorech lachfov kol gufo. That you have to do chafifa for the whole body. V'hechein aminhag kol anashim lechotz kol aguf akshav. And that's the minhag of all of our women, is to cleanse and to wash their entire body, and that's what we do today. Even though, again, iyune ba'alma, simply checking would be enough, both for the head and the body. Nevertheless, we are governed by the takanat chachamim to do chafifa, and since we don't know if chafifa refers to just the head or the body, we're machmir to do both. Then we cleanse the head and the body beforehand in hot, warm water, and to ensure that everything's clean and there are no chatzitzot. And in addition to that, there's usually an attendant at the mikveh who does the iyune, who does the check over the woman to ensure that the chafifa was done properly and that the woman has no chatzitzot. And therefore, if she finds something afterwards, generally you can rely on the fact that she did chafifa and that she was checked and she went into the mikveh immediately to rely on that in order to protect her if she finds a chatzitza after the fact, unless it's obvious that the chatzitza was definitely there at the time that she went into the mikveh, like the case by Rabbi, where she found something between her teeth that was obviously there before she went into the mikveh. Okay, we'll stop over here.